It's good to have you with us here tonight. So thankful for all those who are partners with us at Covenant of Grace Ministry and for those who are part of the ministry and those friends and those who pray for us. Your gifts, your grace, your love ministers to us in a very special way and helps us to be able to keep about the Father's business. For those who give without even thinking of a thank you or anything else online or otherwise, thank you for your financial help. It helps us to have integrity in doing the things we're doing and to minister Christ Jesus, having many of the materials we have available for our groups, etc., and to be able to support what God wants us to do in discipling and encouraging people in the gospel work and to help people that they would become strong believers in Christ Jesus and to affect this world with a positive affirmation of God's love so that people see a true reflection of what it means to be a believer and not just quote in doctrine or teaching only. We just want to be the people of God living with the Spirit of God abiding with us and sharing God's love towards all that come in contact with us. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ezra. We are now in our lectionary series on chapter 6, I believe it is. Chapter 6. We will read from verses 13 through 22. And I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible. You guys either have the NIV or the King James in your lectionary series. We give to those who are part of this series for their study. And if you need those materials and you want to be a part of this in a more cooperative or more significant fashion, please let us know and we will try to get those materials to you. You can either contact us at cgmfinc@gmail.com, cgmfinc@gmail.com, or contact the ministry by going to our website at cgmfinc.com. The Gmail is for the email, obviously, cgmfinc@gmail.com, and the website address is simply cgmfinc.com. It's that simple. And just get a hold of us, if you will. But we're going to be talking about freedom to celebrate and or worship. Freedom to celebrate and or to worship. We are so blessed in this country that we have the freedom to worship and to minister as we do. It's such simplicity and with universality, being able to go forth and to really share God's love in whatever fashion we feel, as long as we are not doing it divisively or in contradiction to our country's laws. But for the most part, it's, you know, very flexible. We're very fortunate. Other countries don't have this same kind of privilege, and they are paralyzed by worrying about or having fears about their coming together. Many years ago, behind the Iron Curtain, there was that kind of literal sense of fear and dread about various police services, et cetera, would come in and break up church meetings or break up house fellowships. And they, even in China and some other countries today, you see that happen, even though there's supposed to be some, quote, freedom of religion. You know, I count it privilege and I count it honor and I count it with thanksgiving that we can gather together online or otherwise to minister and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are a privileged people. I remember many years ago, and I've given you the story before, about a testimony I read. A book has been written concerning this young man called Vanya. He lived in the Soviet Union during the time of a lot of persecution towards the church, etc. And he was a believer, and he was in the armed services of the Soviet Union. And he would not relinquish, he would not discount, he would not renounce his faith. And because he would not do that, they put him through a whole lot of different difficulties in his training, et cetera, and they wanted to whittle that out or just throw him in prison. But what they did was they constantly tried to get him to recant his faith. And one night they left him outside in the miserable cold of 20 to 30 degrees below zero. And they left him out there and they kept on going back every few minutes to try to, hey, are you ready to recant now? Are you ready to give up now? And they didn't just leave him out there, guys. They left him out there naked. Yes, no clothes on. No clothes on. No shelter, no anything, okay? And he ended up staying out there all night, and he didn't freeze. He didn't get frostbite. He didn't get anything, and he was just praising and worshiping God. You know, and when they came back to talk with him later and brought him back in, he said, hey, I just remembered the Hebrew children, and they were in the fiery furnace, and even though they were in the fiery furnace, they did not burn. Nothing happened to them. You know, he remembered the word, and he had something to stand upon, and he stood upon the grace of God, and God kept him. He would die later on, but not during that set of circumstances, etc. But it was more of a natural situation. Why? Because his faith stood strong, and God protected him, and those around about him kind of just gave up. You know, we are very privileged, and most of us have not had to do anything like that to stand up for Jesus. On our jobs, etc. We are privileged people. The people of God lived in and under captivity during this time period, with the Persians being those who had direct control over their lives. And the Persians were kind of smart. They knew that one of the ways that people that they assimilated into their empire would cooperate with them was to show respect towards their religion. They understood that one of the most effective ways to gain the approval and loyalty of the native people was to show deference to their traditions. The imperial administration also recognized that temples were centers of communal life. Temples united and organized various segments of society, and the priests provided guidance and leadership to the community. Houses of worship possessed human, technical, and infrastructural resources. The restoration of a temple meant injecting life into virtually all aspects of the community. And we have been reading about, and we have started to see, that God had given the people of God a chance to rebuild their temple and place of worship, even at Jerusalem. Amen. And we are in the sixth chapter, the 13th verse of the book of Ezra. And I'm going to read that to you. And you can read along with me if you will. It's always a privilege to share with you the things of God. Then Tattaniah, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar Bozaniah, and their colleagues carried out the order of King Darius with all diligence. So the elders of the Jews built and prospered because of the prophesying of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, Iddo's son. They finished building by the command of Israel's God and of Cyrus, Darius, and King Artaxerxes of Persia. This house was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the rule of the king Darius. So the Jews built and prospered and were being ministered to by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah at this time. They were receiving the word, and the temple of God was being rebuilt. And in essence, freedom of worship and celebration had been brought fresh life within the lives of the Hebrew people. I want you to know that there's something special about freedom to worship, freedom to honor God, and being able to take that opportunity and honor Him. But too many of us today do not take that freedom and privilege and use it accordingly. We take it for granted. We do not see it for what it is. And we don't take time in our personal lives and cooperatively, like in worship tonight or in fellowship, to bear witness of the testimony of the Lord and to allow the Lord to minister to us and to receive His word. But the people of God, especially under captivity, understood what a wonderful privilege this was. And so having the rebuilding of and bringing back of the articles of the temple was special to God's people, and they appreciated it. And the ministry of Haggai and Zechariah was ministering to the people of God. and giving God's word and fresh direction, fresh anointing, fresh opportunities were taking place within the community of God. I want you to know today that God wants to breathe forth fresh life and opportunity in the church of God through the people of God gathering in whatever way they can to minister the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to bear witness of his love. But too many people are shying away, are not taking advantage of, or not finding themselves in that place of reception and celebration. And we don't know what we're missing out on. Too many folks today are caught up in just enjoying life with all its entertainment and other things going around about, and forgetting about the primacy and the lordship of Jesus Christ and the honor of being in his presence. And a lot of people I know who have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ don't know what a wonderful thing it is. And unless we show them, unless we express it, unless we really have a love for God, people are never going to know what the difference is all about. What makes us unique? What makes us special? What is so great about being a child of God? And the world needs to see the witness of God's love through your and my life as being the temples of God, living out Christ's love and bearing witness of the Lord within our earthly vessels. Amen. Each and every day, thanking the Lord. Each and every day, praying to God. Each and every day, reading his word. Each and every day, sharing with other God's love. Each and every day, trying to bear witness of the Lord, giving into the kingdom, giving to causes that help promote God's purposes on the earth. Amen. All these things. But it can't happen. God's work can't be established. The light of God can't be seen unless we share it and show the beauty of freedom to celebrate and worship him. Take advantage of the privilege. Take advantage of the honor. Take advantage of the opportunities. Hallelujah. If you can get away for a weekend and go to a seminar or to be able to have a time where you receive something special at a Bible conference, take advantage of it. Make your vacations or et cetera, sometimes not always around about going to someplace nice and isolated or a paradise, but in a place of paradise with Christ, with yoke fellow believers, bearing witness of God's love in camp meeting sessions or et cetera. Hallelujah. Let God's love flow through you and find a way that you can pursue him. You will be blessed and you will account it a blessing because you have prioritized what God wants you to. And that is to put him first, and all other things will flow through his grace and his love. Hallelujah. Seek ye first his kingdom and all other things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, joy, etc. Hallelujah. It's going to come about because you have become a God worshiper. You've become a God honor. You've become a servant of the King. Hallelujah. And you understand what a blessing it is to be in his presence. Let's go on, okay? Let's look at verse 16, if we will. Then the Israelites, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the returned exiles joyfully celebrated the dedication of this house of God. They gathered together, all the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the returned exiles, joyfully celebrating the dedication of the house of God. They were back in their land. They were back worshiping. There was a reestablishment of true worship, and they were being able to honor and honor God's house. Hallelujah. I love to go to a church dedication. I love to go to a church dedication where they are establishing that place of worship and sanctifying it unto the Lord and giving him thanks for giving them the privilege of having a temple to worship him in. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know something? Your very lives, you and I, are temples of the Holy Spirit. And we too need to celebrate God's love and honor the Lord. And I'm thankful that I can celebrate within my vessel the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is something special when we gather together in special dedication services and see that precious anointing and grace and favor of God upon something that is being set aside for God's purposes. Hallelujah. And we are drawn to that. We want to be a part of that. We want to see God have his way. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 17, at the dedication of this house of God, They offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs. Bulls, rams, and lambs. And as a purification offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their sections for the service of God in Jerusalem, as it was written in the scroll by Moses. So the Levites, the men of God, set aside things in accordance with the scroll, according to the word of God. It's very important that when we serve God and honor God in our lives and in the church, we do so in accordance to the word of God. Traditions are good. Traditions can have their place. There's nice things about being a part of one another that are good in fellowship and rules and regulations. But the primacy of what we should be doing should be that which is honored out of and in cooperation with the word of God. And if the house, your personal house, your temple, or the house of God is not predicated upon the truths of God's word and what it means to truly honor the Lord through his word, it is a bad foundation that is taking place. It is something that is not going to last through the times and difficulties of life. And there's going to be challenges that come ahead. And the church in its physical house, in its, quote, group gathering, or your own personal life, is going to have difficulties staying established, staying reconciled, staying where it needs to be, in vogue, in love, in tune, in honor of God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of churches that start off right. They're in the word. They're honoring God. They're giving God his honor and due. And then things happen. People come in. They convolute things, or they try to change the course of the tradition of God's word and make it to have none effect. And in our own personal lives, that can happen if we allow certain influences and things to happen with our own personal lives. And we begin to dishonor God's temple. We begin to dishonor the things of God. And we don't take his word for what his word says. Hallelujah. It's important to know God's word. It's important to follow after God's word. And it's important to listen to the man or woman of God sharing God's word with you in a fashion that gives you understanding and revelation. Years ago, I remember a difficult time that came to a particular church in New Haven, Connecticut. The pastor there was a very wise man of God, and a person who through the years had ministered and mentored many men and women unto the work of God. And he'd gone through changes in the body of Christ and things, and had really tried to broaden his horizon in the purposes of God. And the church was being blessed, and his faithfulness to God was blessed. In the midst of that, in his older years, there became a young man who was a great speaker. He was a great influencer. He was a great manipulator. And he had many people convinced of his honoring the pastor and honoring the things going on. And he started to work with this dear brother in a cooperative measure. And his status and privilege within the body of Christ because of the work he had done had begun of such a nature that just by his association with this young man in his ministry became accepted. But as soon as that acceptation happened, and he began to take more and more influence over the church, and the pastor kind of was, you know, he was, as I said, he was older in his ministry. He started to just let go of his own service and responsibility, spent more time with the Bible college and less time with the church. And this young man was kind of taking over the steam of everything. In the midst of what would begin to happen soon, it would become apparent that he was trying to push out the pastor and get him in a whole nother theological wing, bringing upon doctrines of the dominion theory in such a way that it would bring a whole different definition to the church. And then when the pastor and others started to talk with him about this scriptural deference, and things began to try to take place in a constructive manner to look at the word and see what it says, the young man said, well, you just haven't received the revelation yet. You know something? I've heard that a lot in my life. I'm 63 years old and I've heard that a lot. You just haven't seen the revelation yet, Pastor. You don't understand this, or this is God's prophetic word. Nothing of God's prophetic origin, etc., goes with disconnect when it comes to his word. It can't contradict his word. It has to be done in the spirit thereof. So don't tell me I don't have a revelation or I don't see it. There's a lot of people who in the past few years I've caught prophesying about things or saying they have the word of prophecy for this or that and political events, et cetera. It doesn't matter what it is I've seen. And quote, after words, they try to put another spin on why the prophecy wasn't what it was. And they didn't quite see it right. No. I don't allow for that. A false prophet's a false prophet, or quit prophesying. You just teach Bible, et cetera, but just quit prophesying or quit calling yourself something you're not. You know, we don't operate that way in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. But be careful what comes in to the church and be careful about what, transpires if it's not in, truth and validity within the full scope of the scriptures. If you've got to pick things out or work this way with it or pull this out, there was one particular person who tried to come into our church here and say, oh, Brother Boss, you've got to be teaching this. This is the word. And then I just remembered a few scriptures that God has taught me through the years, and they had to twist themselves over backwards, forwards, etc. words. And then basically it came down to, without saying, oh, Brother Boss, and you just don't have a revelation or an understanding. What you mean is, I ain't no fool. That's what you mean. I ain't no fool. Hallelujah. You know, there is such a thing as fool's gold. Amen. It looks good. It looks nice. It looks like the genuine article, but it's not. And we have too many things in the body of Christ that sometimes get supplanted within the body of Christ as the church is being dedicated, as our lives are being dedicated to the Lord, that uproot, supplant, cause difficulty in our Christian walk. Hallelujah. I have become very akin to the ministry of discipleship and become very akin to certain things concerning covenant and covenant relationship. And only because of years of spending time with people who have ministered in the Word, gotten into the Word of God, and I understand the concepts of the scripture, and I see it's coming about and helping the body of Christ to grow and move and have its being. It also shows accountability and grace in the kingdom of God so that we don't go off as lone rangers here and there, just everybody doing their willy-nilly thing. Hallelujah. We're a body fitly joined together. Not under like brutal leadership. No. Not under dictatorship. No. We are all under the Lord. And as an under-shepherd or a shepherd, I've got to teach with the love and the grace of God under a caring way and measure. Not to be a man or woman, a brute force on the body of Christ. Otherwise, I will be judged, and rightly so. Hallelujah. Always measure things out of love. We have had a lot that we've talked about in the past few months concerning Malcolm Smith and his book. And he was influential in me first many, many years ago, believing that God was going to have me ultimately work in this concept of the begat ministry and discipling brothers and sisters under Christ and building up shepherd leaders in the church. And God has seen that happen in the multiplicity process and the victory and the power of God and salvation, and the fruit therein has been seen. However, it started with a seedling years and years ago, before I even began this type of ministry with Brother Malcolm Smith and with understanding this, taking time out like Christ did for ministers and such to help them in true processes of becoming men and women after God's own heart and sharing the gospel. Hallelujah. And it just blossomed from there. But love is the predominant factor within it all. And you have to recognize love for what it is, an agape love, in order to work in this covenant relationship, work as true disciple makers, work as pastors, teachers, in yoke fellow service. the love of God has got to be spread abroad in your heart. You've got to really understand agape love and scriptures that talk about love and examples of love in the scriptures and what God was and his love towards the people of God, etc. And when you do, and you understand that heart of God, then you can work in cooperation with God's program within the church. Otherwise, if you don't, it's just a bunch of rules. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's just about going through the motions. It's just about a certain style of worship and doesn't breathe forth the life of God. And the Holy Spirit just can't grow and blossom in the body of Christ. Amen. And I hope that many of you have seen that through the years. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love gave. God's love sacrificed. God's love wanted a family. And we are the family of God. And Patrick begat so-and-so, and this person begat so-and-so, not talking about spiritual lineage. And we have seen people come unto God as we've taken time to share God's love and to love those who are around about us and see God's word blossom in their hearts and lives. You know, I like to teach and preach the word here with you on Sunday nights or in other times here in the body. And I hear wonderful messages coming back to me. Can say, oh, Brother Boston, so-and-so accepted Christ and all these other things. And that blesses my soul. And that's, we want to see people become part of the kingdom of God. Amen. But what really blesses me is when I see those people become attached to the symmetry of what all God's trying to do. As they become attached to the body and they become yoked and covenanted one with another and they begin to share with one another and God begins to build them up. Hallelujah. They find that person that can be their prayer partner and they start to listen to the man or woman of God in their shepherd groups and they start to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and seeing the perfecting of the saints. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. I don't like to see people come into Christ, do the things of God, and then they just disappear. They become detached from the branch, so to speak. Hallelujah. I want that freedom of worship and celebration of worship and growing in the grace and knowledge of God to prosper them. Amen. So as the people of God here in the scriptures read about come together, they celebrate the things of God. They come to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Fresh life is given to the people of God. I want to remember how wonderful and beautiful it is to approach him in a way that allows us to be the people of God and share the things of God in cooperation with the word of God. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Amen. There's nothing like it. Guys, there's nothing in this world like Jesus. There's nothing in this world like the church. But it's got to be the real church. It's got to be the people of God. And it can be a church within the church in a sense that there can be believers within the church and the ministry of God's word is going forth. And, you know, you might see the shell of some kind of denomination. But what's going on inside and the people loving one another and ministering in community and caring one for another and helping one another in the body of Christ, that's where it's all at. That's where it's all at. Amen. Hallelujah. There are many pastors who called me through the years and wanted this begat ministry we have here at Covenant Grace shared within their church. And they God hones it, you know, in a different way for them because it's not like us, okay? It has to be its own thing. But as they begin to work it and fabric it out and they begin to see how they can assimilate the principles, their churches grow, their Bible study groups get excited, the things that God has, people work in cooperation with the pastor. There's some neat testimonies that take place. And I have pastors who are Methodists, Episcopal, and otherwise come and say, Brother Boston, fresh life is coming to our old sanctuary church. You know, hallelujah. People are excited about Jesus. You know, that's great. That's what it's about. They should be excited. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He's given us hope. He loves us so much. Hallelujah. I don't know anything like the church. I don't know anything like the kingdom of God. I don't know anything like the love of God. I don't know anything like what it is, a genuine church of God, when it's in operation. Hallelujah. We've seen miracles last week. We've seen signs and wonders. We've seen different things. Not that we're looking for that, but it's an outgrowth of faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. People are just getting a hold of the word, I guess. Hallelujah. And things are happening. Hallelujah. And we stand for the word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I pray you're getting something out of this. Amen. I hope the Lord's blessing you. Amen. Let's go on in the scriptures if we will. Amen. Let's go, if we could, to verse 18, chapter 6. Is that what I want? Hallelujah. Give me 1 second here, guys. Yeah, 18 is good. They set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their sections for the service of God in Jerusalem, as it was written by the scroll of Moses. So God set things in order. The Levites set things in order. And how did they do it? Through the word of God. There's an important part of being a part of the body of Christ and being in the service of the kingdom, and for ministry to remember, set things in order. In other words, it just doesn't come together. Hallelujah. It just doesn't come together. There's a development that takes place because of order. Things being set. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Hallelujah. And when you do it and when you set things in order, God begins to move and have his free course. Amen. The Bible says repent and be baptized and be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's an order to all the things of God. You can't be filled with the Spirit until you first repented and turned your heart to God. There's principles to line up to. Amen. Look at verse 19. On the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles celebrated the Passover. They celebrated the Passover. Oh, how wonderful it must have been to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate again in Jerusalem, to celebrate again as the people of God in cooperation with all that had been set in order. Hallelujah. It must have been a joyous time. Hallelujah. What a wonderful exuberance and excitement. Hallelujah. For what God has done. Even in the midst of, quote, being slaves to the Persians, yet they were able to honor the Lord God of heaven. Amen. No matter where you're at, no matter what situation you're in, you can always find a place to build an altar. Hallelujah. No matter where you're at, no matter what place it's in, you can always find your way to build an altar. There's always a quiet place I find on my secular job, or there's always a quiet place I find in the house that I can dedicate to things. There's always a quiet place I can find in the woods, or a quiet place on the beach, or a quiet, you with me, church? A place where you can repose and meet with God. Hallelujah. I remember when I was going through a divorce, and my head was spinning with everything that was going on, and I couldn't get my druthers about me. And I had a very dear friend who was a Catholic priest. His name was Father Ray Intervene, back in Old Saybrook, Connecticut. And Father Intervened for me. He intervened for me. He was the head of the charismatic movement of the Catholic Church in the Norwich Diocese back in Connecticut. And I, you know, just one morning in the midst of this time of, you know, kind of trying to, you know, find my way through the midst of it, the hurt, the pain, the missing of the kids, all sorts of stuff going on. And God had me just go down to St. John's, I believe that the church's name was. But it was where Pastor Intervene pastored, right on Main Street there in Old Saybrook, Connecticut. I'm thinking it's St. John's, you know. I might have forgotten the name of the church. It's bad. But right down that main drag, that beautiful church. And I went in, and I sat down, and they were having early morning mass. It must have been like 7:15 in the morning. And Father Intervene was ministering, and he noticed me. He noticed me there. There's not a lot of people there early in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning in any church, but, not there. They maybe had 40 people there, maybe, but that was it. And he noticed me. And he didn't just notice me. He remembered me because a year before I had invited him to come to my church and preach and minister. And he did a wonderful job. But he noticed me. And so after it was over, you know, he made sure to come up to me. I was just sitting in the pew. But at that point, I think I was kneeling down and he just sat in the pew next to me. And when I finished praying and I sat back, Father Ray goes, "How's it going, Patrick?" I said, "Well, not so good, Father Ray." He said, "Okay, what you going through?" And I told him what I was going through and how I was feeling. And then the power of the Holy Spirit just started ministering to him, that love of God. He had a shepherd's heart. Hallelujah. And he began to talk with me, et cetera, and he prayed for me, and the anointing of God was upon him. Hallelujah. He was a follower after the Spirit. Amen. And I felt a little bit better, but, you know, I was going to go through some things. Amen. And he sat there and he said to me, "You used to be Catholic, didn't you?" I said, "Yep." I said, "I want you to know, you can come up to the altar and I'll give you communion." I said, "Well, I'm not." He said, "You can come up to the altar and have communion in my church anytime. And if you want to come here in a moment, whatever you need, you just call me." And he said, I want you to know God loves you." And I just broke down crying. And I found myself every other day for a couple weeks, I found myself, maybe months, going there a couple times during the week in those early mornings, praying to God, being alone with God. I was able to touch God and I had communion with my brethren. Hallelujah. In a Catholic church. Hallelujah. As far as he was concerned, I was family. The Spirit of God wasn't just the only thing that brought us together. There's heritage here. Background. And he helped me so much and made me feel like my ministry wasn't going to be over. Things were going to work. God had a purpose in it all. I certainly didn't understand it, but God had a purpose in it all. And I want you to know, when you're feeling bound up, when you're feeling like a slave, when you're to a job, when you're feeling like you're going through struggles, when you feel like you're not really in your environment, God will help you to find your Jerusalem. God will help you to find that place and reestablish that place of worship. God will help you to find that place where you can worship in freedom and celebrate and honor him. And you can have a fresh touch from the Master from heaven. Hallelujah. You can find it in your home. You can find it on the job. You can find it going through a trial. You can find it in whatever situation you're going through. Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't say no more. Say no. I want to know him. I know one thing. He loves me. I know one thing. He cares for me. I don't see it now. I don't understand it now. I don't get it in the midst of this. I don't know why I have to go through what I am, but I know that he loves me. Hallelujah. And he does. He loves you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I hope you're getting something out of this today. Hallelujah. Just a few more minutes, if you don't mind. Amen. I want to continue on for a moment. On the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles celebrated the Passover. I'm in verse 20 now. And all of the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were clean. Woo! They began to celebrate. They began to worship. They begin to honor God. In the midst of this time where they found themselves with a fresh relationship with God and one another, God blessed, and they were clean. Hallelujah. God purged. God made things whole. God put them in a right place in relationship with him and with their fellow man. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God does that kind of thing. And in the midst of your trials, in the midst of the situation, if you'll find your Jerusalem, if you'll find your place of worship, if you'll find your place of celebration, if you build your altar, God is going to clean and touch your life and it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right. And the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were clean. They slaughtered the Passover animals for all the returned exiles, their fellow priests, and themselves, the Israelites, who had returned from exile, together with all those who had joined them by separating themselves from the pollutions of the nations of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel, ate the Passover meal. They separated themselves from the pollutions of the land. Hallelujah. They cleanse themselves. They purify themselves. When God has purified you, when he's cleansed you with those things that have bound you, those addictions, etc., don't take them back up. Don't allow them to influence you again. Separate them. Leave them under the blood and move on under the grace of God. Hallelujah. When God has cleansed you and you've gone through the forgiveness of the cross and have gotten to the other side of resurrection power and resurrection life and the Holy Spirit's moving, don't go back. Don't go back. Let the Holy Spirit be alive in you. Walk in his cleansing love. Walk in his cleansing love. Walk in his cleansing love. The Israelites who had returned from exile, together with all those who had joined them by separating themselves from the pollutions of the nations of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel, at the Passover meal. And finally, verse 22. They also joyfully celebrated the festival of the unleavened bread for 7 days. For 7 days. Because the Lord had made them joyful by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria towards them so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Change the attitude. The Lord can change the attitude of your boss. The Lord can change the attitude of your best friend. The Lord can change the attitude of those around about you. And you can see a supernatural work of God. You might have given up on somebody and said, hey, things are never going to change. Things are never going to get right. But I want you to know, if you pray for them, I want you to know if you'll have your altar, that Bethel, that Jerusalem, that place where you can get along with God, where you can be like I did in that little, in that setting of that Catholic church, and just find myself there for months trying to get that touch from heaven and hear from heaven. God can do it for you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that you've opened up to us today. Thank you for what you've shared with us. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that each and every one here will find that place in their personal lives where they have that altar they can build, where they can find that little Catholic church, so to speak, and find that place where they can pray, find that place of separation in some regard, and where they can repose with you, where you can share with them, where you can minister to them. And within the fabric of the church of God and in our fellowship with one with another, the Lord can help them to find it as a place of hegemonious growth and strength, where they can find that place of fluidity in worship and know that the body is going to pray for them. And we are united one with another, and we are free where the Son has set us free through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, you can touch them today and their situations of past, their addictions of present, whatever it might be, don't have to haunt them anymore. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would bear witness of your love to each and every one, God, and they would be able to tear away the pollutions of this world, the things that pollute and mar our spiritual vessels, and let God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the days. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch and use and touch and strengthen and bless your children and help them. And those who do not know you, Lord, who are listening in, who are watching this, I pray that they would find their way to the altar of God. They'd find their way to a place of repentance, and that they would just yield it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you are able. I know you are able. And I turn this thing over to you, whatever it might be in my life. And I just say, Lord, be my Lord and my Savior. Guide me. Help me to know what Pastor Voss is talking about this wonderful relationship I can have, this wonderful place I can have in the Lord, and this place in the church he talks about, this joyous acceptation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, bring them in. Let them know There's a place for them in the kingdom of God. Forgiveness of sin and the grace of God. The Holy Spirit's going to help them along this pathway. Help them as they surrender their heart and their life to you. That person right now who has backslidden and has kind of gone on their own way and has not really felt you in a long time. They feel like their life is kind of tattered, God, and they feel like they're just kind of going through the motion being here tonight. I pray that, God, they would meet with Jehovah today. They would meet with the Son of God. They would meet with the Lord who loves them, and that, God, you'd share your love with them and you'd let them know, hey, you're going to make all things good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for what you did for us at the cross. Thank you for the church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who in my life have touched me. Thank you, Lord, for Father Intervene. Thank you for Pastor Edmund. Thank you for Pastor Young. Thank you for their families. Thank you for John Gary Nordstrom Jr. Thank you for Pastor Nordstrom. Thank you for the family of the Nordstroms. Thank you for friends and neighbors in Christ. Thank you for Pastor Chapman. Thank you for Pastor Kim. Thank you. I could be here all day and say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You have been so good to me. And I thank you, Lord, for a cloud of witnesses that have been in my life that have helped me upon life's pathway. Derek Prince, Brother Simpson, so many. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. Find that place in God. Remember that we're family. Share God's love with somebody this week. Let them know how much you love them. And let God show his witness in your heart and life in a special way. In Jesus' name, God bless you.